We got a bastard ton of rocks to clear before we can start cutting more blocks. The Major don't like it when we fall behind schedule.
Stuff it, shithead, and help me with the new explosives.
We got explosives. What we need is fuse, you idiot.
Not like this stuff you don't.
Going to the rear cargo area of the military wag, the SecMen released a collection of rubbery straps holding a large plastic box in place on top of a damp, folded blanket. Lifting off the top, wisps of mist wafted away, exposing 50 new sticks of explosive charges nestled inside, soft sponges separating each stick.
Color's odd. You sure this dynamite is still good?
Ain't dynamite.
Looks like it.
Ain't.
So what is it?
Something called TNT.
The driver eased a stick from the packing.
The Major says it's much stronger, maybe 10 times, so we better use a lot less.
The overseer glanced toward the vertical rock wall hanging above them.
10 times.
Lifting out a single stick, the driver carefully crimped a detonator cap on the end and added a fuse.
1 stick.
What are we supposed to do with this old dynamite?
Boss says burn it.
Burn it?
Easy as pie. I done it lots before. Slit the dynamite open like a fish and toss on a match. Nothing to it. This TNT's supposed to be lots safer than dynamite. When that stuff gets old, it starts sweating and becomes mighty unstable. Blows if you fart hard. Some damn fool slave drops a rock on it and our dicks hit the moon.
Don't want to do that. Found me a slut for tonight, and plan to do some riding.
Enough for me? The Major been working the slave so hard on the dish, it's like doing a corpse.
Always room for a bud.
He smiled, nudging the man with an elbow.
You like dark meat or light?
A shrug.
Ain't choosy.
As the men grinned at each other, a sharp crack echoed across the quarry. The stick of explosive in his hand jumped, and the SecMan stared in horror at the gaping hole in the paper tube.
Nuking hell!
Shitfire!
Scarface cursed, working the lever to chamber a fresh round.
The puller didn't set it off.
Now they know we're here. Better run while we can.
Ain't leaving just so we can get caught and dragged back here again.
The dirt kicked near the box of dynamite, and the SecMan backed away, unable to think of what else to do. Then there came another crack. The box jumped, and the whole world vanished. As a titanic blast ripped apart the face of the cliff, spewing out rocks and debris for hundreds of yards. The entire side of the mountain seemed to shift position when a second explosion sounded. Although muffled by the avalanche, the concussion was still louder, much more powerful, and a geyser of stone rose into the sky on a column of boiling flame.
Well, fuck me.
The concussion buffeted the sentry post with strident force. The sides of the quarry rose and moved inward, dust filling the air as thick as mud. Then the countless tons of granite fell on top of overseers, SecMen, and slaves. More explosions came from the wags and storage sheds, but they were pitifully weak compared to the earth-shattering detonation of the 50 sticks of pristine TNT. Welling from the depths of the vibrating quarry, a boiling cloud expanded over the site, obliterating everything from sight. In the nearby complex, sirens began to howl, and the great dish trembled from the quake of the blast. Already rushing up the crumbling spiral, the cannies reached the top and dashed onto green grass seconds before the sloping road broke apart and the pieces tumbled into the smoky abyss. Some SecMen came charging out of a barracks and the cannies gunned them down, pausing only to take their blasters. A line of trucks and a lone APC stood on a bare patch of ground nearby. Not knowing how to rig a tank, Scarface bypassed the military wag and used the stock of the long blaster to break the window of the best-looking truck. Climbing inside, he reached under the dashboard and ripped wires loose, then started touching one to another until the engine started. Twisting the connections closed, the canny chief shoved the wag into gear and roared off at top speed.
Where now?
Scarface shifted gears.
We're going home.
Virginia's due north of here. Maybe a tad east.
Digger hugged the moaning Mad Dog close to his chest.
Too dangerous. I heard them say they were setting traps for someone named Ryan. He'd be coming after their boss. Got the roads covered north, east, and south of here.
Remember that caravan we attacked? Heard someone yell for Ryan. Maybe that's him. Great. Let the fuckers kill each other.
Scarface steered into the trees, plowing through bushes and greenery.
We'll avoid both by heading west.
High above the polluted world, the kite floated along through the cold vacuum of space. Tiny retrojets flared occasionally to correct the satellite's attitude, adjusting pitch and yaw against the complex gravitational forces of the Earth below and the Moon above. 1,000 more satellites moved around the world like bees buzzing about a hive. Some were large and slow, barely tethered at the extreme limits of Earth's gravitational field. Others were small and fast, beeping antiques from a bygone age. Most sported huge dish antennae, simple communications relays for television and the multinational businesses of the pre-dark world. Both as dead as dinosaurs. A few of the satellites were of unknown purpose or origin, strange ovals whose hulls were a flat black, making them nigh invisible against the starry backdrop of space. Several hundred miles away, a squat armored sphere bearing the design of an American flag became alive with dim lights and spun weakly about on its vertical axis, pinhead sensors flickering as it registered the presence of the huge oncoming satellite. Radar beams scanned the Goliath, and the master computer couldn't find a match within its military data banks. A radio signal was immediately sent to NORAD Command in Wyoming, but neither the Mammoth Cheyenne Mountain nor the North American Air Defense Headquarters existed anymore, and the request for instructions went unanswered. The Guardian satellite instantly tried contacting the Pentagon. No response. Then it tracked desperately for Looking Glass, the flying headquarters of SAC, but the Boeing 777 was nowhere to be located. Following the dictates of its programming, the Guardian demanded immediate verification from the White House. There was only static. Finally, the war satellite broke top secret seals and beamed an emergency signal to the armored bunker at Camp David. Nothing. Only the crackle of the never-ending sheet lightning from the isotope-filled clouds masking the planet. Subprograms flared into operation, but the auxiliary routines failed to boot, so they were tried again a dozen times before the reserve files were accessed. But the long ages and steady bombardment of the solar winds had claimed a toll on the military orbiter. When reserve files were sluggishly activated, the first was filled with corrupted data, as well as the second. But the failsafe backup proved functional, and the weapon systems of the hunter-killer were brought online within seconds. Now, a direct warning was broadcast at the intruder in international Morse code. There was no reply. The mandatory warning was tried once more, with the same results. Hardwired circuits pulsed into life, and hatches irised wide. Distance was gauged, speed, vectors, trajectory, and two small missiles streaked toward the lumbering kite. The first went straight past the mile-wide power station, arcing off into the limitless depths of deep space. The second detonated halfway between the two machines, its chem warhead of thermite beryllium flowering into a hellish spray of metallic flame over 2,000 degrees Kelvin in temperature. The kite began to tilt slightly away from the Guardian satellite. Sensing the unauthorized invader was still coming, the hunter-killer activated its armor-piercing rockets and prepared to launch. When the warheads prematurely detonated inside the military satellite, blowing the orbiter apart in a silent detonation. Utterly destroyed, the crackling wreckage of the mega-million-dollar satellite began to drift toward Earth with ever-increasing speed. In minutes, the friction of the thickening atmosphere rushing past its hull raised the temperatures of the ceramics way beyond their design limit, and a spectacular tail of flame stretched behind the plummeting machine, making it resemble a comet for a few brief seconds before it was vaporized. Serenely, the colossal kite continued its journey toward a new geosynchronous position directly above an insignificant river valley, hidden somewhere in the ragged mountains of western Tennessee.